Bee colony collapse has perplexed scientists for the past decade, and it's worried food producers and the population at large. Apples, tomatoes, almonds, just a few of the many crops that rely on bee pollination to grow.
A new report out today from the Bee Informed Partnership with the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows that beekeepers around the country lost almost a quarter of their colonies this past winter.
That's actually better than expected, but still significantly higher than what's considered manageable. This is the eighth year for the report. The lead entomologist on the study has specific recommendations for ways to help stem the die-off. Dr. Dennis Van Engelsdorp is an entomologist with the University of Maryland. Welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you've been doing this, as I said, for 8 years now. How do the numbers look coming out of this winter?
Well, we've gone sort of from a situation that was horrible to one that's bad. So we, on average, over the last year, we've lost 30% of our colonies every winter. And this year, we're just coming in under 25%. I should say, though, that one of the things we added to the survey last year was that we started looking at losses over the summer, and that's not usually when bees die. And we found that the total loss this previous year between 2012 and 2013 was 50%, and then this last year it was 30%. So still, beekeepers are really suffering from unexplained, really high levels of loss.
I want to dig into the implications of that in a bit, but one of the big headlines here is that, you know, there's been this mystery, what's causing this? You have at least some more explanations in the report released today. What's going on, do you think?
Well, that's right. So we think that there are three different components to this problem. One is the varroa mite, which are these parasitic mites that pass viruses from bees as they feed on the bees' blood. The second is pesticides, both that beekeepers apply to control the mite and that is applied in the field, and poor nutrition. And we have growing evidence that a lot of beekeepers, that varroa mite populations are growing much faster than they used to. And so beekeepers really need to start treating much more aggressively in order to control the mite. Having said that, if we controlled all the mites, we'd still have some explained losses, but those loss rates would go down.
Well, let's tackle these three problems one at a time. You said these varroa mites, there are treatments out there for them. What would a beekeeper do to keep them under control?
Well, there are different products that they can use that are synthetic, and a lot of those products have lost some of their effectiveness. There are also organic-based products that are based on essential oils or natural acids. And then there are different manipulations beekeepers can do to reduce the rate at which varroa mites grow. And what we're finding is that beekeepers that are most successful are treating at least three or four times a year. They're not just relying on one treatment. They're aggressively treating multiple times a year.
Well, that's one method of pest control, but you mentioned that pesticides themselves, different kinds of pesticides, are also part of the problem. What kind of pesticides, and are they ones that we can do without?
Well, there certainly are a lot of products, especially backyard or gardeners use more agricultural chemicals per acre than any other farmer, and we certainly don't need to use those. But there's growing evidence that there's a lot, like fungicides and other pesticides, that don't kill bees outright, but they weaken the bee's immune system and make them susceptible to disease. And we think that there needs to be a lot more attention paid to that.
And there's been talk about neonicotinoids, a tobacco relative that's a source of a kind of pesticide. Is that one of the culprits?
Well, certainly there's been a lot of attention paid to neonicotinoids. And the idea is that these are pesticides that are painted on the seeds, and as the plant grows, it sucks up these pesticides and expresses in the pollen and nectar. And certainly in lab experiments at very high doses, we can see some effects on bees, and even at very low doses, we can see some effects on bees. But we still haven't shown that it's killing colonies outright, and so that's a missing piece. Certainly there are other pesticides that are doing the same thing, so we need to look at pesticides in more general sense.
And the third culprit you mentioned is nutrition for bees. What's the problem there?
Right. So in the United States, the sort of summer ground right now for bees is in the North, South Dakota, and Minnesota area. And that's because there's a lot of fields there that have flowering plants. But with the price of corn and soybean, all those meadows, or a lot of those meadows, have been plowed under. And so there's not a lot of clean forage for bees to eat anymore. And so we really need to look at how we incorporate good, clean forage in our landscape in order to support honeybees and also other pollinators.
So if bees are only getting nutrition from the crops they're pollinating, that isn't enough for them.
That's right. And so they need variety, just like we do. We need variety in our diet to keep us healthy. They need a variety of flowering plants that flower at different times of year.
So painting the full picture here, the bees aren't getting enough nutrition. They're being weakened by pesticides. And I guess both of these would make them more vulnerable to disease spread by the varroa mites.
That's absolutely right.
So you've mentioned some of the solutions here. I want to delve a little deeper into the problem now. One of the things in your report talks about kind of the rate of acceptable losses for beekeepers. Are beekeepers losing so many bees that it's driving them out of the business or the hobby?
Well, actually, there's been a boom in the backyard beekeepers or the hobby beekeepers. There's a lot more people since this problem arose. A lot of people have become interested in bees, and that's great. So we've seen a real rise in the number of small beekeepers. But 95% of the beekeepers only manage 5% of the colonies. It's that 5% of the beekeepers that own 95% of the colonies that we really rely on to pollinate the fruits and vegetables in this country. And those beekeepers are getting hit really hard. A lot of them are in business because of love, not because of the economics anymore. Because trying to replace 30% to 50% of your colonies every year is really expensive. And we've seen some of these guys go out bankrupt, and we're worried that this trend continues. More and more will go out of the business. And they're very hard to replace because commercial beekeeping is a very complicated skill set. It's not like anyone can just jump in and become a commercial beekeeper.
So if we lose too many of these big beekeepers, is that going to be an agricultural crisis for us?
Well, that's right, because one in every three bites of food we eat is pollinated directly or indirectly by honeybees. And so if we want to produce almonds in this country and apples in this country, if we want to produce vegetable seed in this country, we need to have a movable pollination force in order to pollinate those plants to set the fruit or the seed.
So what would you like to see? Are there I don't know, government policies or changing business practices that need to happen to keep their hives going and keep those big beekeepers in business?
Well, we're really working hard at trying to figure out what the best beekeepers, the ones not losing many colonies, are doing and get the word out about good management practices. We think that everyone can do something to help solve this problem. One is to support local beekeepers by buying local honey. And the other is to think about not spraying herbicides in your lawn and let it become a pollinator meadow, and also plant pollinator gardens and think about how we can encourage flowering plants that grow year-round that are pesticide-free in order to support honeybees and other pollinators.
How about wild bees, not the honeybees that the big beekeepers have? Do they play any role in pollination, any significant role in pollination of crops?
Well, you're absolutely right. They're really important for the ecosystem, the native bees. There are over 3,000 species of native bees in this country. Most of them are very small, and we don't really have a good handle on what's happening to their populations. But we do know that if honeybees and these native bees are foraging on almonds or other crops, that the fruit set is even better. So having these part of the picture is really important, and that's why we're worried about the fact that some, like bumblebee species, for instance, we think have gone extinct over the last 20 years. And so we really have to start monitoring all those pollinators and doing things that are good for all pollinators.
At the outset, you said looking at the numbers, we've gone from years of horrible to a year of bad. Am I being too optimistic to hope that that might be a trend where maybe next year it'll be only a little bad and beyond that, or is it hard to project that?
I think it's hard to project that. I think that we've done it for 8 years, and what we see in those 8 years is looks like it's cyclical. So a really bad year is followed by a better year. It's still a bad year, but it's better than the year before. And so I think we want to see 2 or 3 years of this before we feel good about it. And it certainly has to get lower than 20% in the winter or 30% overall the year for the bee industry to be healthy again.
All right. Dennis, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with University of Maryland entomologist Dennis Van Engelsdorp. He leads an annual survey in partnership with the USDA on bee colony collapse. New report out today. And by the way, he mentioned backyard beekeepers. On Monday, we'll hear a Wisconsin Life episode talking to people buying bees for their backyards, and then talk to an expert on how to start your own hive.